Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
610 Sports Radio, broadcasting live from the Brown and Crouppen Studios.
Download the Football and Barbecue Podcast on the 435 Podcast Network. 610 Sports Radio, KCSB Kansas City, WDAF HD2 Kansas City, and radio.com sports station.
Good evening. Welcome in. It is the Therese Paylor Show on 610 Sports Radio. I'm Brandon Kiley. Therese Paylor, the one and only Yahoo Sports NFL writer alongside me for the night. The Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer tech line is 69306. You can hit up either of us. He is at Therese Paylor. I am at BK Sports Talk. Therese, that was a hell of a game to watch together yesterday. We were both at the stadium. We both got to go into the locker room afterwards. How you doing today, my friend?
I'm fantastic. I'm wondering if you heard me cackle a few times during the game. Some of those throws Mahomes made, some of the breaks they got, some of the breaks they created, right? Games like that, really good example of why people love football. It was just a blast to watch.
I mean, there was a moment in time early in the game when my Twitter feed was just on fire, just flaming because I was the guy coming on the air last week saying all week long, the Texans are not a very good football team.
Coming for you.
This is not a very good football team. And then the Texans go up 24-0 in the first quarter, and people are like, BK, you've been telling us all week how bad this team is. I was like, yeah, wait for it. It worked.
Well, I tell you one thing. We both would have been taking some L's. Because, you know, I'm not – I try to be pretty reasonable about a lot of things. I wasn't really respectful of the Texans last week either. Didn't I call their coach like super, super mid-grade?
We played that quote like 27 times on the show. Oh, yeah.
I was like super, super mid. And guess what? He is, okay?
That might be generous. After what I saw yesterday, fourth and fourth, fake punt. Fourth and one, you forget that you have plays that can actually work there and decide, you know what, screw it. Deshaun Watson, you're coming off. We're going to keep the field goal here.
I'm going to tell you something. Me and Charles talked about this on the Yahoo podcast. That's not something you can admit. Like, I don't have a good fourth and inches play. Like, that's what you're there for.
And then later, in the exact same press conference, says, yeah, we knew we needed to score 50. Well, then why you settle in for a field goal from 17 yards out?
It's a matter of inches. What do you do? I am curious to ask you, though, because I know you were taking that heat. Like, how resolute were you during this time? When it was 24-0, be honest, how resolute were you?
So, you know, last week I bet against Deshaun Watson. Mm-hmm. And so now I have a bet on the Chiefs right now that is very much alive at 7.5-1 for them to win the Super Bowl. I made it back a few weeks before they got the 2 seed. So it was a couple of weeks prior to the postseason. So I'm going into this game both with professionally my word on the line and then personally my money on the line.
Gosh.
And you're watching the beginning of this game and it's just like anything that can go wrong. It was Murphy's Law. Everything went wrong.
It literally did, too. Everything.
2 third-and-6s that were dropped.
Drops.
The punt from Tyreek, who's the guy that you can always count on in those
blocked
spots.
Blocked punt. Just horrible, right?
Everything goes wrong. And so you're just sitting there. You got the miscommunication on a deep ball that hasn't been happening all year. It felt like the game from hell.
Yeah.
And as a Chiefs fan, you're at Arrowhead, and you're like,
People were pissed.
No.
They were booing.
No.
Like, the boos were full-throated. Like, it was real. And I'm like, wow. I get it. I'm getting my column ready. I'm like, here we go. Like, this is gonna be savage. Because it, honestly, like, I know you would have got on air. You would have been irate. Like, I can't even imagine. Like, today you just would have been on fire. Because, to be honest, they were better than the Texans. The Texans were clearly inferior on offense. They were clearly inferior on defense. They were clearly inferior at coaching. Like, all those three. So, there was no reason that they should go in there and just get their butts kicked like that. So, you know, I was kind of like with you. But I will tell you this. You know, I didn't have the sense of anxiety about it. Like, I knew one way or another. I thought it might be closer than that after I predicted the Chiefs to cover. I'm like, all right, well, they're not going to cover. But I still felt pretty good about it just because what did I say leading up the whole week, BK? I said that this was an over-my-dead-body game by Mahomes. Well, that's what that looks like. 321 yards passing, 53 rushing, 5 total touchdowns.
the answer to every question is Mahomes.
Yes.
Like, the answer to every question is Patrick Always. Mahomes. Yes. And you said all year long, and you were resolute in this, and you continued to say it no matter what the question was. You, whenever asked, is this team a Super Bowl contender, you said, if 15's healthy in January, they're a Super Bowl contender.
And I told
Period.
You.
Period. End of story.
BK, and I told you, it was because, like, I heard stories about how irate he was at the AFC Championship game at halftime, promising to put up 30. He actually did it. And, like, the way he prepared for this season was proof that he wasn't, like, just okay with winning the MVP. He was really pissed off about that AFC Championship game loss. So I put my faith in him because I know what his competitiveness is. And the most important thing, BK, his teammates do too, and they believe in him.
And you could hear it after the game.
Yes.
Everybody you went up to, like, Frank Clark after the game, thank God we had Patrick Mahomes, said it multiple times.
The most honest quote. The most honest quote ever. Said it twice, right? Like, but here was the kicker. Not just thank God we had Patrick Mahomes. You know what he also said? Because if we didn't have him, I don't know if we would have came back from this. Guess what? You know what this also does? I talked to Anthony Sherman about this. And please go to Yahoo and read my story.
It's fantastic. It's one of Therese's best columns, and he writes a lot of good ones.
Please, please, please go read it out. I need that corporate click. But I asked Anthony Sherman about this because I talked to like 5, 6, 7 players. And they all mentioned, I asked them, like, how'd you guys not get down on each other? Because I'll tell you this, I've been covering this league long enough to know when things get bad in the NFL, players start sniping at each other.
You saw it on the other side. When
yes,
things started
do.
Going south
yes.
on the Texans,
That's
they
right.
did start sniping at each other.
And guess what? Coaches start sniping at players, too. To a man, all those 7 players told me, we didn't have any of that. And I'm like, why? Like, everything's going poorly. Everything, you guys are in football hell right now. Why not? They were like, we stuck together. We believed in each other. But I think it's deeper than that. And Anthony Sherman, who's an honest guy, like he'll tell you what he thinks. You know, he told me, he was like, I was like, why were you guys able to do that? He was like, Pat makes it easy. We know that when we have him, we can come back from anything. That is the value of an elite alpha franchise quarterback. And honestly, and I'll probably write this at some point, maybe this week, or, but this is real here. If you are the fan, if you are a fan of a downtrodden franchise in the NFL, the Lions, the Browns, the Bengals, what Mahomes is doing should give you hope that there is an out from this football hill. Go get the elite quarterback. I don't care how many draft picks you got to do. I don't care how many times you got to try to get go get the elite quarterback. You can end your football nightmares. It is that simple in today's NFL, but you got to find them.
I actually don't think it's that simple. I think there's one other thing you need.
Because
I think the Texans have that guy.
Yeah, good
They
point.
Don't have the coach. And so you've got to have the coach and the quarterback that are able to go together. It's simpatico, because if you don't have one or the other, it doesn't work.
I think that's a fair point, because I think you saw with Bill O'Brien, if the coach is deficient, you're going to be in trouble. But I'll push back on you, though.
Okay.
The harder part is getting the quarterback.
100%.
So that's why the focus has to be on the quarterback. Now, once you've got that guy, once you've got Deshaun, once you've got Patrick, the nice thing about having the quarterback first is because he might cover up some of the coach's flaws. Like, Bill O'Brien might last down there longer than he should because of Watson. But there's not going to be much blame in a Watson for their struggles. After a loss like that, the heat's on O'Brien because people know how brilliant he is. So you're right. To win a Super Bowl, you got to have the coach. But the first step, if you're the Lions, if you're the Browns, is to get that quarterback. Because if you get the quarterback, that gets you started on that road. And honestly, that's the hardest thing to find. That quarterback, that elite guy that can make plays when nothing's there, that can inspire belief. So if you're the Lions, if you're the Browns, if you're the Bengals, if you can find it, there's a road out of football hell, but you got to get that quarterback first.
We talked a lot about Mahomes. I want to continue on this path because yesterday, Therese, is the type of game that legacies are built upon.
Yes.
You go early in a career, and that's where you make your name, right? So the reason that I bring this up is because early in Peyton Manning's career, it took him too long to get that ring. And so he was labeled as a loser, and he couldn't get it done, and a choker. Then I look back the other day, and he actually, in the first five meetings against Tom Brady in the playoffs, had more wins against Brady than Brady did. But it didn't matter. That's not where the legacy comes from. It's ultimately what you do to be able to go get
That's
the
right.
ring.
That's right.
When you have a game like that, in that situation, with what's on the line for this team, seeing them as a legitimate Super Bowl contender, and the night before the Ravens going down, and even more of a Super Bowl contender, because now you get to host the AFC Championship game at home, that's how you become one of the greats. That's how you early in your career are remembered and already thought of as, this guy will not go down. This guy has the quote-unquote clutch gene. This guy has what it takes, regardless of what kind of a position he's in. This is what Ben did early in his career. This is what Russ did early in his career. It's what Brady did early in his career. And now Mahomes has an opportunity to do it.
And there's another step to it, too. It's epic what they did yesterday. It becomes legendary when they finish the damn job. Finish the job. If they win the Super Bowl, that win becomes legendary. That win becomes in the first graph of his football, epilogue. Like, it's right in there, right? And when that type of win, I'm the Hall of Fame voter for Kansas City. They win the Super Bowl. That kind of win is so great, so legendary. When it's my turn to get up in front of the room, in front of the 47 other voters, you know what I get to say? Stand up. I nominate Patrick Mahomes and sit down. 2 seconds. I don't even have to give a speech because they know what he means. That's why that's special. But they got to finish the job at some point. They got to win a Super Bowl with Andy Reid, with Mahomes, if not this year, then next year. But you're right. Tremendous building block for legendary status.
And the best part about it is, yesterday we got to see the other side of so many of the awful, awful,
so bad,
awful
dude.
Memories that we all have at Arrowhead. We've all seen the other side of what that game looks like, especially out in Indianapolis. We've seen too many of those games with either Andrew Luck or Peyton Manning on the other side, and now you've got that guy.
That's right. You get to watch
that guy for the next decade, and he's your quarterback.
And they get to be terrified of your guy. It's hard not to watch Mahomes out there just with his gait. He looks like Elway, dude. Like, when he's out there running.
That's a comparison I made the other
day.
Like,
when he's just out. Oh, did you? Good. Mm-hmm. See, we think alike. When he's out there running, like, he looks like him with the gait, kind of like the barrel-chested gait. He's running. He looks just like him when he's doing this stuff. Think of how terrified you guys were when Elway had the ball late in the game. You're like, oh, God. Here comes Elway. Here comes the gun. Here comes the scramble. How cool is it to have it? Hell, I wish the Lions could find an Elway. And I think what you do see is there is a difference between Stafford, who I like. I genuinely like him. And I think if he had Andy Reid, he probably would have, you know, he would have broken some of the Lions' curses. But if you're not the next level guy who makes plays with his feet and his arm like an Elway, like a Mahomes, like a Watson, you know, if you don't have that, you better make sure you at least have the coach. So my point is, again, these downtrodden teams, you got to find the elite alpha playmaker. And if you can do it, the Chiefs are showing you your football nightmares don't have to be that anymore.
Therese is giving himself a speech right now. Right?
Yeah,
you guys don't know this, but I'm in this room and I see Therese's face and he's like, I can view it. It's there.
Right.
It's
this
possible.
This curse doesn't have to last forever. It doesn't, though. Like, it doesn't. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think this is just kind of watching Mahomes and, like, getting really acquainted with, like, Chiefs fans and you're like just the horrible losses you've had to endure. Like, look, you've won a Super Bowl before, so we're not going to put Chiefs pain with Lions pain. We're not going to do that. But you're underratedly one of the most tortured franchises in football. You are. Now, you're not in the lowest level of hell like the Lions and Browns, but you're close, right? And it's just really cool to see that you can break out of it in pro football. But that's what you got to have. And that's why I want Chiefs fans to just appreciate and enjoy it, because you could go another lifetime after that, your kids, your grandkids might not be able to root for a guy like this.
He's Therese Paylor. I'm Brandon Kiley. It is the Therese Paylor Show on 610 Sports Radio. The Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beers text line is 69306. We'll get to some of your questions coming up later on in the show. Coming up next, I didn't know that the offense had that kind of a game in them this year, and we've never seen the Warriors and Chiefs comparison be more apt than it was yesterday. We'll get into all of that coming up. It is the Therese Paylor Show on 610 Sports Radio.
The Therese Paylor Show, 610 Sports Radio. Listening on the radio.com app. Make sure to favorite 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back. It is the Therese Paylor Show on 610 Sports Radio. Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beers text line is 69306. That's the way to get in touch with the show. He's Therese Paylor. I am Brandon Kylie. So yesterday we saw something that I wasn't sure we were going to see in the postseason. And it was the offense looking like the 2018 offense. That looked like the team that we saw for the previous season, not what we saw this year. And Therese, I didn't know that they had that in them. Seven straight touchdown drives, the longest streak by a team in the playoffs since the merger. And this is my favorite stat from those seven drives, Therese. On those seven drives, they had just three third downs total on the seven drives. All of them were third and goal. They didn't have a third down between the 20s at any point, converted all three third and goals for a touchdown, of course. I didn't know that they had that in them, Therese. And seeing that on that stage when they needed it most, when they were all healthy, goes back to your point that you've said all year. When you've got them all healthy, this is still the offense that we remember.
And what did I say, like, in the middle of the year or earlier, in the kind of early middle part of the year when teams were using that one high, like man coverage when Ty Hill was out? I'm like, you can't do it. When Ty Hill's in, you better not play it when Andy's got to go to his good plays. Because Ty Hill requires attention. And if you go one high on that, other people are about to eat. Well, the Texans decided they were going to try to copy the Patriots game plan. And Lewis Riddick pointed this out, and he's on point always. You know, if you're going to copy their game plan, you got to have, like, the details of it too, kind of the sophistication of the man coverage. You got to mix things up. You can't just say, hey, here you go, here's one high coverage, and it's dial up your man beaters. And just have fun. Like, you can't. So I wasn't really impressed with the way that they attempted to attack the Chiefs' offense. And it was really pretty cool to see Andy dig into the well and say, okay, all right, we got these good plays here. We can dial them up now. We got to win this game. And that's what he did. He's not, look, every game is not the same in the NFL. You don't bring out all your best stuff every week. You save them. You set things up. Andy's been doing that for the last month, guys. Like, he doesn't need to call his good stuff to beat these division teams. He knows them too well. Like, and they're not nearly as talented as Kansas City. You understand, like, that game was basically, like, a month in the making, right? Like, it was basically a month in the making. So, I think as long as Damian Williams continues to play well and, like, block his tail off and catch the football out of the backfield and make people miss, they can do it again.
That throw from Mahomes to Damian Williams in the red zone was the best throw of the day.
Oh,
it was the best throw by Patrick Mahomes. I rewatched that like 17 times yesterday, and Damian Williams has not turned around, is not looking at Patrick Mahomes, has not beat the linebacker, and Mahomes throws it at his back, and he turns around, and as he's turning, it like catches Damian Williams as opposed to Damian Williams catching the ball. That was incredible.
And I loved the design. It was Kelsey, and it was Watkins, I believe, on clear out routes. They cleared him right on out. Running back leaks right into he leaks right upfield along the hash. What you gonna do? You're gonna get beat because they know it's man coverage. That's how. You gotta switch things up.
You do. The problem is, Therese, like, they went to zone once, it was a free play. And Sammy Watkins went like 45 yards streaking down the middle of the field. It was him on one side. I think it was Mecole Hardman on the other side. And it was Tyreek going down the far sideline. And it was basically four verts. And they were like, screw it. We're going to beat your zone by just running right through them. And Mahomes hit him on a perfect strike down the middle of the field.
That's why they're so tough to defend.
Mahomes
destroys zone too. Like, he really does. But here's the thing. I like zone in the red zone because the field is condensed. And it gives you the opportunity to switch it up a little bit on the Chiefs. Because the field is condensed, you're taking away some of the creativity, theoretically, that guys can kind of leak into the open spaces with just because the field is condensed. So, like, I think you got to mix it up a little bit. Otherwise, hey, if Andy Reid knows you're playing zone and Tyreek Hill is on the field, like, good luck. And he's calling his good plays. Like, good luck. Like, you're not going to stop that. And I'll tell you this, you know, I think, and I'm sure we'll talk about the Titans here soon. Mm-hmm. That's a very well-coached football team, and they do some sophisticated things that the Texans don't. So I don't know if this is going to be a shootout, but the Chiefs should be able to score. But their defense their defense has to be on point too. And we'll get to them. But my point is, I do think this offense is here to stay. But it can be here to stay even if they don't put up the same number of points they did on Sunday. Just know that. Because Tennessee's good and they're sophisticated defensively.
So last year, most of what we heard throughout the year was the comparison between the Chiefs and the Warriors, right? Because the Warriors had the ability at any point in any game, they could be down 35-10. It doesn't matter. You watch in the fourth quarter and you're like, oh, they've probably been up this entire game. No, at one point they were down 35-10. They have the ability to go on a run where it's a 25-0 run, and suddenly they're in any game, regardless of what the score is, whenever that run started. It was apt last year. They didn't have to do that very often last year. Yesterday was the first time in a while that we've seen not just the ability to do it, but it actually came to fruition. The Chiefs were down in a way that you almost never see teams come back from. They were the first team in playoff history to win a game by more than 20, in which they were down by more than 20 at one point. Mm-hmm. That's the Warriors comparison. Mm-hmm. That's what we've been talking about for the last year and a half. That's what no other offense has the ability to do. We saw the Ravens on Saturday. That was a great offense all year long. I'm not taking anything away from what Lamar Jackson did this year. I think people that are doing so are crazy. But this offense, that's where they're different.
Yeah, nobody's going to beat you up on that. I also think it's amazing that at 24 years old, Mahomes has also engineered the biggest comeback in Chiefs history already. Like, it used to be 21 points. This was 24. Like, he's already done this.
He has as many playoff wins at Arrowhead, Torres, as any as the rest of the Chiefs' history
it's
at
incredible.
Arrowhead.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, by the end of the day, like, he's going to be like Elway here. You know, like, he might – look, guys, I'm telling you, like, at 2040, he might be the team's GM. Like, I don't – I mean, you know, it might be the same deal. Like, who knows where this heads to. But it's fun. It's fun. And the Warriors comparison – like you said, it's more apt than ever. You've even kind of got, like, the likable star in the Mahomes-Steph Curry comparison. So, really, really cool to see here. I do think people here appreciate it, too. The love that people get show for Mahomes on social media and all that, I'm glad that people here get, like, how special this is. And, you know.
Oh, dude, when you go through the hell that we've been through, and you know this as a Lions fan, like, you appreciate more than anything in the world when you've been through the retreads that Chiefs fans have been through.
It would be like the Lions getting the next Aaron Rodgers. Like, great. Now the Lions get to go to Green Bay and win on a last-second field goal. And the Packers got to see last-second field goal. They got to lose on last-second field goals for like 20 straight years. That's how they – believe me, I got it. I understand it. And I'll say this, just to finish off the Golden State Warriors comparison – you know, they also won that title when they were young, too. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like they had to do the Michael Jordan, you know, climb that mountain and keep getting knocked down. Like, they won it when they were young, too. And this path is setting up for the Chiefs to do it. I do think we're headed to potentially the State Farm Super Bowl against the Packers.
I would love it.
Here's the thing. The Packers will scare you a little bit because their quarterback can do this. Like, if I face the 49ers, I'm good. Garoppolo can't match Mahomes. Rodgers can, and he's done it before. So that's the matchup that would scare me a little.
He's Terrez Paylor. I'm Brandon Kiley. It is the Terrez Paylor Show on 610 Sports Radio. Coming up on the other side, sometimes you just know it's your year, and it's starting to feel that way for the Chiefs. Plus, we got to give a little bit of love to this defense for what they did yesterday as well. We'll do it all next. Coming up, it is the Terrez Paylor Show on 610 Sports Radio.
The Terrez Paylor Show, 610 Sports Radio.
Halfway home here on the Terrez Paylor Show. I'm Brandon Kiley. He's Terrez Paylor. 69306 is the Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beers text line. Terrez, sometimes you just know it's your year. When the Royals won the wild card game back in 2014, just felt like it was the year that they were going to go to the World Series. Now, it didn't work that year, but the following year, game four of the ALDS is when you knew. Mm-hmm. That was when you knew. They're not losing. This is going to be the year that the Royals are going to win the World Series. Man, it's kind of felt that way this year for the Chiefs. I don't know what it looks like when the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, but it kind of feels like it had to go this way for the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. Tyreek Hill had to go down in week one. Mahomes had to get hurt with his ankle in week one. He had to go down with the knee situation later in the season. They had to have Ryan Fitzpatrick get them the bye week.
Listen,
they had to go down 24-0 in the divisional round of the AFC Championship game. This is the only way that it was possibly going to happen for the Chiefs, and it feels like it might actually be heading in the right way.
It will make for a hell of an America's Game episode with everything they've had. Like, that's something we can start thinking about. Like, if they could finish the job, like Andy would be on there, Mahomes and probably Badger. That would probably be the three, right? That'd be a lot of fun to watch. And, you know, Lord knows they've dealt with their share of adversity this year in multiple areas. Everybody getting hurt, including Mahomes. I mean, look, let's not forget that Denver game. It looked so ugly. At the moment, like, there was talk about, like, should he have surgery? Should he? I mean, we were there, right? We were at that moment, and that happened this year. So they've had a lot of things go for them the last few weeks. The Patriots inexplicably losing, so they lose the number two seed, and the Chiefs end up getting it. The Ravens getting beat at home by the Titans.
I mean,
setting up
Therese,
a, bro,
the
setting
AFC
up like
championship
a,
game could have been the wild rematch. Card game.
It's setting up a rematch, man. It's setting up a rematch against the Titans team you lost to. That, like, had a lot of people freaking out. I remember doing this show after that game.
Oh, had. Oh, you're using past tense
right.
there.
And everybody was just freaking out. And I'm just like, okay, guys, January, like, let's go. And now they get a chance to bury this. They get a chance to bury this giant running back coming in here and, like, controlling the ball narrative. Like, they have a chance to do it. And I'll tell you this, man.
I'm so scared.
No, you should be scared. But remember I told you, like, if they end up facing the Titans, like, people will kind of say, oh, no, it's the Titans. What are we going to do? I think people are kind of like, I'm a little concerned because everyone's assuming they're going to win the next game. So I feel like that's maybe kind of win the other way. But I think they'll get enough questions about the Titans and Derrick Henry this week that they'll be very fired up to face him and beat him. And I will tell you this. Don't think for a second that they don't maybe subconsciously take stock of, like, who they get asked questions about and what people gets and what gets said in the media and use it as motivation. Because there's at least one player on the defense that I can absolutely tell you use everything that he hears in the media as motivation.
Oh, would that guy be Frank Clark? Potentially. Let's listen to what he had to say to us after the game yesterday, Therese. Let's go ahead and listen to Frank Clark post-game. Here's what Frank Clark had to say after they beat the Texans, and he was in a fantastic mood in the locker room.
The last time they were here, they beat us. Just smacked us in our face, you know, simple put. And that's the one thing I remember. You know, at the end of the day, you're talking to the wrong guy, you're talking to the wrong team. They talk all that stuff, and they come out here and we embarrass them. So we send them home early. We get to see them next year. They got a short season, and hope they enjoy the offseason.
Frank, you mentioned that there was talking smack. Was this from last game or?
Man, you know, man. Y'all the one put in the media, man. Y'all see what Carlos Hyde talking about, man. Y'all see you talking about we can't stop him and all that stuff, man. At the end of the day, our goal wasn't to stop him. It was to beat the team. And that's what we did. We beat the team. We stopped him. He didn't do and at the end of the day, we just keeping everything in house, I always say.
Keeping everything in house, I always say. I was just keeping everything in house here.
Well, I give them credit. They kind of did up until, like, Frank Clark has been just dying to unleash on Carlos Hyde, very clearly.
I don't think Carlos Hyde had very many fans in that locker room by the end of the day.
Because, again, BK, we talked about this last, because, like, all of a sudden he goes to Houston and loses 8 pounds or something, and he just looks like a different back.
You know he didn't
look like that.
8 to 1 man, 20 to another.
Oh, she said 20.
I think it was a couple more than 8. I'll say that much. He lost a few pounds in that locker room. I don't know what happened, but he.
I'll tell you this. Like, if it wasn't for the fact that it was just like that. Like, within a week of being cut by the Chiefs, like, I'm telling you, in week one, he looked really good. I just can't imagine him losing 20 in a week, but that's why I just settled on 8. I figure, like, let's just say BK, not the biggest fan of what he saw in Carlos Hyde, is St. Joe. And I got to be honest, I didn't really see it either. Like, the Chiefs needed running back depth.
Man, I remember talking to you up there. We were both like,
yeah, we were just like, I don't know.
That dude's the fifth best running back out here. Like, if his name didn't say Hyde on the back of his shirt, he wouldn't be out there.
And they didn't, like, hype him up at all either. Like, they were like, yeah, you know, he's out here. He played a lot of snaps. It's just like, wow.
He brings that veteran presence.
I remember.
Oh, okay. So he's old, slow, and not good. Sweet.
Right. And by the way, this is St. Joe. Like, so a lot of hyperbole there. A lot of positive talk. If you can't get a positive comment about a player you're about to write about, you probably shouldn't write it, because there's no better place to just say something positive about a guy that coaches notice. If they don't do it, that's your first sign. And maybe it ain't working out.
All right, a guy that you hear a lot of good things about right now, Therese, the guy by the name of Derrick Henry. He has 1,275 rushing yards in his last 8 games. Listen to this. This came from NFL Network today. That is a new all-time record for the most rushing yards in any 8-game stretch for any player in the history of the NFL. Nobody in the history of the league has run for more yards in any 8-game stretch than Derrick Henry has in his last 8 games. This guy is terrifying. The Titans have won back-to-back games against the Patriots and the Ravens on the road with their quarterback throwing for fewer than 100 yards in either of those 2 games. I'm on team running backs rarely matter. This running back matters. And he is scary,
Here's the problem. We know how good he is. Like, we know that, you know, his stiff arm is straight from NFL blitz, right? Like, we know all that, but it isn't just him. Brandon, I'm telling you, when I watch their offensive line, I haven't seen an offensive line run block like this and consistently move people in a long time. Their tackles are 6'7", 320. Roger Saffold's one of the league's best guards. They line up, and you know outside zone's coming, and there's nothing you can do because Derrick Henry, for some reason, is really, really fast despite being 6'3", 250, and he makes smaller players look like children trying to tackle him. It's very, very difficult to stop them. Their tight ends are good. They're complete tight ends. They block. They can catch. And then, just in case you haven't had enough of big physical guys that can run, their quarterback's a big physical guy who can run you over, too. The Chiefs know about that. Mm-hmm. That happened to them.
That's not going to happen again. Yeah. I'm not worried about that part. Well, he's going to run. He ain't running over people this time,
well,
I don't think.
Well, they have to accept that challenge.
Sure.
I hope that they're showing them the tape of that, right? I hope they're showing them, hey, look what happened. 17 can do this to you with the clicker, mm-hmm. right? They have to take that as a personal challenge, not just to be physical with Henry, but to be physical with Tannehill, because you know what's coming. They're going to line up there. They're going to do play action off that. That's if they can establish a run. But if you can, like, knock those guys down to, like, 3.5 yards a pop rushing, something like that, you got a shot because you can. If you make Tannehill beat you, he's probably not going to beat you. He might. I mean, he made one throw against the Patriots where I was like, whoa. And it was an important throw late in the game. But the more of those big-time throws you force him to make, the better chance you obviously have of winning.
So this is the thing about playing the Titans. They're going to limit possessions. There's mm-hmm. a game that stands out to me about the Chiefs last year. It mm-hmm. was the Chargers game on Thursday Night Football where the Chargers beat them on that 2-point conversion, the walk-off, mm-hmm. right? There was 8 total possessions for the Chiefs in that game, 4 in each half. Mm-hmm. That's really, really, really low in an NFL game. You typically, like last week, I'm looking at this right now, the Chiefs had like 12 possessions, 14 mm-hmm. possessions in that game. That's typically around 10. If you can get it down to 8, if you can score on half of your possessions, you feel pretty good about it. Scoring touchdowns on half of an 8-possession game, that's 28 points. They're going to play this game, the Titans will, in the 20s. Like this is not a game that's going to be high scoring. And what happens then is a big play here, a fumble there, a mistake there. They become so critical. It's like playing Virginia in the NCAA tournament. There's just fewer possessions.
They're going to choke the game. And this is what I said last week. Like I thought – the Ravens will win, of course, but I said, listen, be careful here. If the Titans can run the football and they win the turnover battle, the Ravens are going to be in trouble. And lo and behold, the Titans ran the football, and the Ravens lost the turnover battle 3-0. So what does that mean for the Chiefs? All right. You actually have to play a good game. Had you put it this way, you get down 24-0 to the Titans, that game is over because they're going to line up with their giant back, and they're going to punish you. And trust me, Henry's a lot harder to tackle, and their offensive line's a lot better to not get reached by than the Houston Texans, okay? So you got your one bad game out of the way here, right? You got that done. You have to play a good game to beat this team. There's no starting off slow. You need to come off on fire, and you actually need to get off to a good start by taking the lead early. You have to do it because if they can get an early lead, and they start playing, the pressure's on you. It's just like, put it this way. Remember the Royals had their championship team. Mm-hmm. You know, the game was over by the 7th inning.
Yep.
That's what having the giant running back and one of the best offensive lines in football is, okay? If they get a 14-point lead and they can sit on you, they're going to move the football. They're going to run the ball. So, to me, like, that's going to be the message at Arrowhead. Coaching staff is going to be like, listen, you guys got that out of your system. We can't start like that this week. If you start like that this week, you will lose, period. Point blank, end of story. Tennessee is better coached on both sides of the ball.
Yes, much better.
Tennessee has a better offensive line, much better. And Tennessee has a much better running back.
You missed two. There should have been two more in there.
I love like BK is the leader of the anti-Carlos Hyde fan.
Dude,
it's so funny.
This isn't even anti-Carlos Hyde. Like, what I'm seeing from Derrick Henry, I don't know that I've seen anything like it before. I really don't. I wasn't old enough at the time of watching Terrell Davis to really understand what was taking place. Maybe it's something like that. Maybe that's the comparison, but I mean, Derrick Henry as a running back is single-handedly winning games.
Here's the thing. That's the comparison. But Henry's doing it differently. Terrell Davis was a 6'3", 250. Like, it wasn't – like, listen. Like, he was doing it with a physicality.
This is Earl Campbell evolved. Like, this is crazy.
God, I mean, it's – I mean, he's not even built like Earl. Like, it's Earl plus, like, 3 inches. It's like – think of, like, the biggest – think of, like, a fast Ironhead Hayward. That's what it's – like, a fast, like – because our iron hair was pretty big. It's like a I'm gonna continue to workshop what this is like. You know what? The truth is we might not have seen anything like this before. It's terrifying, right? So, again, you can't get off to this bad start. It's about getting off to a good start and putting the pressure on Tannehill to have to make throws to win the football game.
And the way that I would do it, Therese, Houston tried to do this against the Chiefs, and it worked. It didn't work later on, but it worked at the beginning of the game. If you win the toss on Sunday, I would receive.
I know they have to.
Analytically, that's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to take the extra possession in the second half, and once you have more data, you get –
No.
Take the ball at first, go score, get them behind.
Put the pressure on them.
Hopefully they then have to punt. It comes back to you, and if they're down 14-0, now the game changes a little bit. They'll stick with the run for a while, but I would receive right off the bat.
I'm open to it unless you talk to Spags, and Spags is like, listen – we didn't play Mike Pinnell in the last game. And you talk about why you didn't play Mike Pinnell the last time you faced the Titans or whoever. And you
Suggs
say, okay,
is
going to
be big in this one, too.
And you just say, and Spags is just like, Andy, I'm telling you, like, the guys are fired up. They want to face Henry early on. And it's like, okay, so what are you going to do scheme-wise to handle it? And he scours through his 40, 50 years of football coaching, and he says, okay, all right, I trust him. Like, this actually resonates with me. All right. We're going to do what we always do and kick off. That's the only way I would be okay with doing what you always do. But I think it's a sound concept to take. Because I will say this. I'm a little terrified. You take the ball. The Titans come out. The thing is that the Titans defense is more sophisticated than the Texans. So, you know, they rotate coverages right before the snap, just like that. So, like, something that looks like one high becomes two high. And the bottom line is that, you know, whatever you just saw with the Texans defensively, the Titans are better coached, and their scheme's going to be different. So there is the potential for the Chiefs to need a little time to get used to it. I do think it helps that they faced them already, though. I do. So I think that decision is going to come down to kind of what Andy can really sense from Spags. But I get your point. I respect it. It is terrifying to think of kicking the ball off to start the game, and the Titans put together a 14-play, 8-minute drive.
Yeah. Right? Like they could knock off 10 minutes to start the game.
What? You know what that does? That puts pressure on your offense now, and that also deflates the crowd. And by the way, the weather, that plays into what the Titans want to do too. This is a tricky game. Like, you're going to have to play the odds and get a little lucky. I think the Chiefs will win, but like they need a little luck, and they need to play really well.
They have two things going for them. They lost to them already, and they've seen this team already go into New England and go into Baltimore, and they beat two really good teams that the Chiefs know are good teams. So that should at least put them on red alert, you know?
And I'll make this real quick. The Titans are getting a lot of respect nationally. Like, no one's really hating on them. Like, the people I see talking about them, people are kind of pumping them up and Henry. Everybody here is writing a Derrick Henry story, put it that way.
He's Therese Paylor. I'm Brandon Kiley. It is the Therese Paylor Show on 610 Sports Radio. We have a lot of actually comparisons for Derrick Henry coming in on the text line. I want to throw some of those at Therese Paylor. And I've got a question about Steve Spagnuolo that I heard Tony Romo say at the end of the broadcast yesterday. I found it to be really interesting in how it could potentially play into this game against the Titans. We'll do all of that and go around the NFL next. It is the Therese Paylor Show on 610 Sports Radio.
The Therese Paylor Show, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back. It is the Therese Paylor Show on 610 Sports Radio. He's Therese Paylor. I am Brandon Kylie. Thank you all so very much for tuning in today. We got a bunch of comparisons for what Derrick Henry is doing on the Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line at 69306. Therese, what was your favorite comparison that we've come up with so far for Derrick Henry?
Okay, so we were talking about this during the break. You originally said, I said Ironhead Hayward. You said Earl Campbell. We're about 4 inches short on our comparisons. Campbell, 232 pounds. Ironhead, 265. So let's go to taller running backs. We were discussing this during the break. We like Franco Harris, mm-hmm. who's 6'2", 230. Christian Okoye.
Yep.
Who's 6'2", I think 250 we settled on, right? But the best one is Eddie George, period. 6'3", 240, can actually run, prolific. That's and it's ironic, they both played for the Titans.
And they both, if you would think, it could be potentially short careers for both of them. Because when it goes, it goes, right? And for Eddie George, he got to 31. He's playing for the Cowboys in one last grasp, and it's over. He had 400 yards, and he was done at age 31. He was out of the league. That
was the
end of it.
It was like that for Christian Okoye, too. So by the age of 30 on these big backs, you want to be out. So I think the Titans are going to end up paying him, and they'll feel good about it because he's 26. You can pay him and feel good about it up until he reaches 29. And then you're going to be probably looking to eject from that. He'll probably go somewhere else. You know, he'll rush for like 7 touchdowns or something, and that'll be that.
So before we get to around the NFL, I do want to ask you one question. I heard Tony Romo at the end of the broadcast talking about Steve Spagnuolo, and he said, you know, I went up against Steve Spagnuolo for a number of years whenever Tony was still in Dallas. He said he's really difficult to prepare for as a quarterback. Because the blitz packages that he puts together make your life a living hell as a quarterback. He said one thing he's going to be watching for in this game against the Titans is that effective? Are those same things effective? Is what Spags does effective against a team like the Titans who would prefer not to throw a pass in any given game? I find that to be fascinating.
I do too, because that's one of the cool things, if you love the game, about what the Titans are doing. They've basically kind of eliminated one whole aspect of the game because you know they're going to run the ball. You can put 8 in a box and it still doesn't matter because they're so dominant doing it with their assortment of tight ends, their offensive line, and Henry. So, you know, look, Tony Romo's always on point. I mean, he's always on point. That is a guy where, you know, I mean, you should probably watch every one of his broadcasts because you'll learn a whole lot about football doing it. He is right. The point of this is if the Chiefs get down early – it'll be hard to stop the run, but if they can't stop the run at all, it's good night. Like they can just eliminate one of the Chiefs' biggest defensive advantages, which is their blitz packages and also the really, really well-executed stunts and blitzes and games they do up front. Let's give some credit here to Matt House, the linebackers coach. Let's give some credit to Brendan Daly, the defensive line coach they got from the Patriots. This is why they brought them here, to help teach those blitzes, those stunts, those games, which they did not really do last year. Comically, quizzically, don't quite get it, but you see the effectiveness of this stuff.
Yeah,
but
that is one of
the Chiefs' biggest advantages, and if they can't stop the run, it won't matter. So they better stop the run.
Therese, let's finish this thing up by going around the NFL, and we'll get some text from the listeners coming up here in just a moment. Let's start with the 49ers. They had a dominant win over the Vikings. It was a score of 27-10. Do you believe right now, Therese, the 49ers to be the best team in the NFC?
I think their game against the Packers is a toss-up. I do. Rodgers scares me. Garoppolo doesn't, but I really, really respect Robert Saleh, their defensive coordinator. I think the 49ers front seven is fantastic. Like, they really embarrassed the Vikings up front. I don't know. I think it's a coin flip. I just have to be honest there.
Yeah.
The team that plays best and who gets a little luck is going to win, because like Green Bay can't go in there and win. So, and Garoppolo has to play well for sure.
I'm picking Green Bay. I've been more in on the Packers this year than a lot of people. And I don't know why people are so down on them. I don't think they're a great team.
I know why.
But they're really good, and Aaron Rodgers is still Aaron Rodgers.
I don't think people respect the coach enough.
That's fair.
Like, first-year head coach. But I went in there, and I came in August. I went in there. And I talked to LaFleur for 15 minutes. He was great. And I'm like, you know what? I like that guy's personality with Rodgers. You know, you got one guy who's who's pretty opinionated. And then you got another guy that's pretty cerebral. I think they've come together and been a great team. I think it's been great. So people don't respect the coach enough and what he's done there. And Brian Gutekunst has done a fantastic job putting that team together. It is the value of having a GM with experience on the college scouting side and the pro personnel side. They've drafted well, right? And bringing in one of my favorite corners in Jair Alexander. Yeah. I think you like him too.
Absolutely.
And also, they absolutely killed it in free agency with the Smith brothers.
When you can get two edge rushers in one free agent class, like,
it's amazing.
It's incredible. It changes your defense. It completely changes it.
And they're both having career seasons. Like, those guys are awesome.
Preston's amazing. Like, Zadarius is, I think he's both amazing. But I've wanted Preston on the Chiefs for like 6 years. Like, I've been all in on that dude since he was with Washington, like early on with the Washington.
Imagine being Washington and thinking that like you can't use Preston Smith, right? Like, just crazy.
All right, Therese, let's get to a couple of texts from the listeners. 69306 is the Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line. Let's start with this one. It's the big question heading into next week. What do you think are the chances of Chris Jones playing?
I think Andy was setting us up for him not to play today. That's just based on like how he sounded. He mentioned that it was tough to see if he'd play. He couldn't really push off, and he said it was an easy decision to hold him out. That doesn't really bode well for him being able to play on Sunday. But, you know, maybe that would change because guess what? You got a bye week for the Super Bowl. So basically from now until the Super Bowl is 3 weeks. So, and maybe he plays. Who knows? It sounded like Andy was trying to tamp down expectations. Though I will say this. I had heard some – there was definitely optimism he would be able to play. And then it just – the 24 hours before the game, it just didn't come together. So.
Quickly, who you got tonight? LSU, Clemson, who you got winning this one?
God, college football fans. I mean, what a great game. By the way, if you're into the draft, watch this game and also go back and make sure you watch Clemson, Ohio State. I'll pick Clemson. I respect the champs. Like, I get it. I respect their championship pedigree. But the Heisman Trophy winner's got a lot of juice, man.
I'm taking LSU.
I don't blame you.
He's taking Clemson. He's Therese Paylor. I'm Brandon Kiley. We'll be back next week. It's the Therese Paylor Show.
The Therese Paylor Show, 610 Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.